Hi, welcome to Hungry in Nashville. May I take your order?
Jeff Alfiero may not know your name when you first come into the lounge at Maggiano's, but odds are good that by the end of the night, he'll have you feeling all right.
Hi, I'm Jeff Alfiero. I'm the piano player and vocalist at Maggiano's Restaurant here in Nashville. Been here since the day we opened, October the 12th, 2005. And I would love to see your smiling face in here sometime soon.
Jeff plays the piano in the restaurant's lounge 5 days a week. To do that well, he must know hundreds of songs and how to read a crowd so he knows what they want to hear.
Well, I know that with lounge-style music, you're setting an atmosphere. You're setting a mood. Early in the night, I'll play things that I don't want to scare anybody out of the building, and I want people to relax. So it'll be a lot of the jazz standards that I came up with to start with. And then as the night goes on, people have drinks, they're feeling their way. Then I can, play more kind of what I call stuff we grew up with. I'll do Motown and Billy Joel and the Beatles and Elton John, Stevie Wonder. So you set a mood. Early in the night, and then hope that mood builds a little bit and people can go home and say they had a good time.
For obvious reasons, one of the songs most often requested is Happy Birthday. Jeff is glad to accommodate the request, but the timing has to be right.
The first song of the night, somebody goes, "Could you sing Happy Birthday to my brother?" I can't do that for a song because you're going to hear me singing Happy Birthday, and that's not, I love to sing Happy Birthday to your brother, but that's not something I'm going to do right off the bat. So I have to, and I'll tell people, you got to wait 15 minutes. Let me set the mood here first before we do that. So I'm not going to come in with Faithfully by Journey on the first song because there's a mood that needs to be built. After all these years, certainly I can create a song list in my head that's going to allow for people to enjoy themselves. I don't have anything written down. I don't have a list. People go, "Let me see a song list so I can pick a song." I said, "No, just tell me what the song is, and probably chances are I can play it for you." But that just, that comes from? That comes from being around for a while, and that comes from studying the history of music as well, because I can go back, pretty far.
There are other reasons people request songs, and how those requests are handled is important. It's all about timing.
If somebody requests a song, like say, "My wife and I have been married for 10 years, could you play Endless Love? That was our first dance." And so you don't play the whole song. Now the attention's on them. I say, that couple is having an anniversary, everybody. Look at them. Well, they don't want to be looked at for too long, so you don't play the whole song. Now, if somebody requests a song and they're in hidden away or something, then I'll make it longer because I want to feel like they're getting, so to speak, their money's worth. But if you request and you're dancing, you don't want to dance that long. You don't want to be looked at that long. Let's cut it short. You got the song you requested. You feel good. You're having a nice night, a little romance. We'll provide what we can here at the restaurant. When you go home, the rest of it is up to you, man.
Then there are the people who like to sing along with whatever song he's playing.
Well, they do. They do. I mean, this is not where I play at this restaurant. It's not a karaoke bar, and it's not an open mic. So if you want to harmonize or you want to sing, just kind of be there and sing, that's fine. But if you want to sing louder than the microphone, if you want to sing louder than me, or you want to impress your friends, then maybe you need to go downtown and get into a karaoke bar or something, because that's not, how am I going to create a mood with you, trying to fight the other person? So, and again, it's all about mood, it's atmosphere, it's creating good times for other people.
And there are people who believe they can do a better job of singing than Jeff can.
Well, you could use the old Steve Martin line. I remember when I had my first beer. It's a little cliche. See, the microphone, well, here's one of two things you can do. The microphone, as you know, is a very powerful instrument. If you're in a room and you're the only guy that's got a microphone, that's a lot of power. That's a lot of power. So you can do two things. You can either ignore them and they'll go away. They're just looking for somebody to interact with. Or you could call them out on the mic and say, "Hey, why don't you come up in here and sing a song? Or why don't you tell us a little bit, just call them out, make them talk about themselves." They don't want to do that. So using the power of the mic, that's another way to offset any potential trouble.
The choice of songs makes a difference, and there are certain songs that everyone loves.
There are certain songs that are a home run. I mean, every time you play them, people put their fork down or they'll look or whatever. A Good Attention Getter is Close to You by the Carpenters. People hear that opening riff, you know, the piano riff, and they're entranced by the sound of that. So they'll look. Fly Me to the Moon is another song that people really like, and they'll look over and say, yeah, you know, that's great stuff. So there are songs that are home runs that I know they're going to work every time. A song like Under the Boardwalk, people will they'll sing along to that because that's a catchy phrase, you know. But again, you know, years ago, everybody came out to party. They wanted to have a good time. Today, everybody's got maybe an agenda. How does it serve them? So I'm not going to get in anybody's face about it. So you want to have fun? I'm here to have a good time. You don't want to have fun? That's on you, man. You're going to spend all this money. You're going to leave your house. You're going to, you know, put gas in your car, and you're going to come here and sit here and not have fun? That's on you.
So when guests do request songs, Jeff hears the same requests over and over.
And it's always the same song, basically. It's The Way You Look Tonight. It's New York, New York. It's some love song, Have I Told You Lately? Can't Help Falling in Love. Unchained Melody. People, maybe I've done my job. Maybe I've created an atmosphere where people feel like they can be a little romantic. So it's okay with me that it's the same song because it means a lot to people.
What if they'd request Silence?
I've also been rewarded by not playing. I was at a place one time, and there was a Titans game on, and the guy said, I'll give you $50 not to play so we can watch this game. I said, done. Done, man. Done deal. I'm here to please the people, whatever you want. So there are you can't tell. I mean, The Way You Look Tonight, yeah, New York, New York, yes. But somebody will say, you know, that was my mother's favorite. It had to be you. Or any of the older tunes don't get around much anymore. And you're always surprised by the way music touches people. So I played in a bar one time, and I used to be in bands, but now since I've been in Nashville, it's all solo work. And I was in a place, and three, four bikers came in, and I said, oh man, what am I up for now? You know, I don't know any Steppenwolf. So one of the guys comes up, and he says, could you play The Impossible Dream? And I said, really? He goes, yeah. He said, that was my father's favorite.
Jeff began piano lessons when he was 7 years old and was classically trained until he was 15. He realized he couldn't make a living with classical music unless he played with an orchestra or something similar. So he turned to popular music and was asked to join a band. But it was in school where he first discovered his now favorite song.
It was more of me serenading the class was Elton John's Your Song. You know, it's a little bit funny. And so when people come to me today and say, you know what? Play your favorite song. Play what you like the best. That song, you know, it's 49 years old. 1970, it's 49 years old. And it hits home today more than it ever did. People love that song. It makes me emotional just talking about it. But I will, I'll go to my grave, you know, say, what's your favorite? Elton John's Your Song, by far.
And now it's time to ask the obvious question. What does he think about Billy Joel's Piano Man?
Yeah, I don't play that. No, I'm just kidding. That's going to cost you because that's a real workout. And even Billy Joel said it himself. He said, that's the last song I want to play if somebody asks for a request. But it's a workout. And you ask anybody vocally, that is a workout. You hit the lowest of the lows and the highest of the high notes on that song. So I'll play it. It'll be late in the night. And it's a challenge. But again, if somebody wants to hear it, I'll play it for them. on, even in the beginning of this restaurant, people came to be entertained. They came for a meal, they came to hear music, and then they would leave. So I could read the crowd because I knew most of the people that were coming, or I knew the type of people that were coming. Now, I will say today's crowd is a lot different than yesterday's crowd because people are very involved with their phones, and it's a fact that in order to get people's attention, I mean, it's hard to get people's attention. I'd have to hit them over the head with a beer bottle or something. A lot of the younger crowd, and you know, it's not just limited to younger people, it's older people too. They get immersed in their phones and don't know what's going on. So how am I going to build, how am I going to create an atmosphere when the crowd, a lot of the crowd refuses to listen or to become part of the atmosphere? And I made a joke just last night over the microphone. I said, hey, everybody on their phones, they know what their friends are doing tonight, but they have no idea what's going on right around them right now tonight. So it's created a bit of a problem. And I think you talk to any musician in town, and if you want, you know, you want to build something, you want to create something, it has become more difficult because you can't get people's attention as easy as you could years ago.
So what makes a really good night in the piano lounge?
A good night to me is when people are in tune to what I'm trying to do. Because I'm not, you know, I build an arc throughout the night. I there's some method to my madness. And if people are in tune with that and they hear, you know, we start with the lows and build to a high, and they're in on it and they get it and they get the jokes and there's stories I can tell and jokes I can tell. And if they're in with me on that, to me, that's a great night. I can go home and not have to complain to my wife what a bad night I had. It was a really good night. People got it. They got what I was doing.
When I was doing research for this interview, I kept coming across stories claiming the end was near for piano bars. Many of those predictions were more than 10 years old.
I really can't say. My only hope is that there are young kids who really love the same music that I love, and they want to express it to people the way I express it. Where do you go in this town? There's a few jazz clubs now, and there always wasn't jazz clubs here. It was always great music and great players and great singers, but where did you go to hear them? So as the city has grown, there have become more places. But a place like this, where you can actually sit around a piano and eat dinner and sing, you know, maybe even meet new friends. I've seen a lot of relationships formed right at the piano bar. I've seen fights, couples get into fights. I hope it doesn't die, because to me, it's almost a microcosm of relationships, of romance and the opposite of romance. Because I'll say, you know, I'm playing a lot of love songs tonight, a lot of romance out there. But, you know, there's two sides to every story. And I'll play Easy by the Commodores. You know, that's a breakup song. Or I'll play When You Just Give Love and Never Get, Since I Fell for You. That's a total breakup song. People think that's a love song. That's a total breakup song. So there's two sides to every story. And I just hope there's guys out there, young people who love the music and want to keep it going. The kids who really like it, they really like it. So if you say, well, how do you know that song? Well, my grandmother listened to it, or my father had Sinatra playing all the time. That's how I know these songs. And for me, Jim, it boils down to, again, society or microcosm or whatever. If you had that at home, you're always going to carry it with you. If you never listen to it and you're just picking it up as you go, well, you're not going to be in on it the way some of your contemporaries were in on it. But it's there for everybody. And I thank the producers and the musicians and the singers and the writers of 80 years ago who took enough care to make these wonderful records, wonderful songs that are going to last longer than we are.
Big surprise. There are a lot of musicians in Nashville, and it's not unusual for them to drop by to Maggiano's.
And if I could tell one more story, this is a Leon Russell story. Leon carried himself the way Leon carried himself, very almost, you know, mysterious, you know, the way he dressed and the way he looked with the beard. But he lived in Nashville, outside, I think Mount Juliet or Lebanon, and he'd come in the restaurant on occasion. So the last time I saw him, I went to his table and I said, it's not my policy to bother people, and I hope I'm not bothering you, but it would mean a lot to me if you could come over to the piano side when you're done with dinner. I was really talking to his wife, and I said, if you guys could come over, I mean, it would mean the world to me. 30 minutes, 40 minutes later, I've got a piano full of people. Here comes Leon Russell with the cane, with the hat, with the beard, with his wife, and they come, and the crowd disperses. They give him two of the best seats. He's sitting at the piano. I play three of his songs. I don't know where I got the nerve. We did Superstar, we did Masquerade, and we did A Song for You. And he looked at me, And he nodded his head. And I put some fake endings, on the end of these. They don't end typical. They ended differently, but different endings. And he raised his eyebrow. And that's all he had to do because I knew he appreciated what I had just done. So when I got home that night and I checked my purse, so to speak, there was a very, very nice gratuity there. And I know it was from he and his wife. So I started to write a thank you note. And it took me a little while to find the right words. But I think within a month or so, he was dead. He had passed away. And so I wrote the letter. I wrote the note. But I sent it to his wife. And I said, this was supposed to be a thank you note, but it's a sympathy card. But I still want to thank you.
Hungry in Nashville is brought to you by Out of My Pocket Productions and is copyrighted 2019 by me, Jim Grinstead. You can listen to Hungry in Nashville on our website, hungryinnashville.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Our music is by Kevin MacLeod. Thanks for listening, and may you eat well. Thank you.